are listening to the Paranormal Chronicles radio show. Here is your host, paranormal researcher and author of the best-selling A Most Haunted House, Gavin Lee Davis.
Welcome. My name is JL Davis, founder of theparanormalchronicles.com and author of the best-selling True Account, that is, Haunted Horror of Haverford West. Thank you for joining me on my ongoing journey to explore the paranormal, the spiritual, and the unknown as we broadcast from beautiful Pembrokeshire, West Wales. The Paranormal Chronicles podcast series is brought to you by sixth-books.com. Visit sixth-books.com to explore a wealth of reading on the afterlife, UFOs, hauntings, the spiritual, and ancient mysteries. Visit sixth-books.com as your first choice for your paranormal knowledge. So visit sixth-books.com today. Thank you all for your incredible support. This series is growing so incredibly fast, and we appreciate you all so much. New listeners, please know that every month our followers are entered into a prize draw, and one lucky follower will win a book every month. To celebrate our wonderful growth, I will be giving 2 books away as part of last month's followers draw. That's right, 2 lucky followers will be announced as winners at the end of this show. So remember to follow for your chance to win. Plus, in September, 1 lucky follower will win a £25 or dollar Amazon gift voucher. I love giving you free stuff just for listening and following, so follow now. Plus, we have a huge batch of amazing paranormal interviews and on-location reports to upload. So listen, download, and follow now. I pride this show on the quality of guests interviewed for you. If you have a story, experience, or theory to share, then contact us on Facebook and Instagram as The Paranormal Chronicles, on Twitter at Paracron, or email paranormalchronicles@aol.com. I love hearing from you. On tonight's show, what paranormal events is one woman discovering in her area? How did her own paranormal experiences send her on a quest into the unknown? Did Bigfoot attack a woman but pet a dog? What ghosts and demons lurk in Mackie's Bar in Cincinnati? All this and so much more as we speak to the thoroughly charming, entertaining, and knowledgeable author, actress, and comedian, that is Karen Lavin. This is an incredible interview that is heartbreaking, hilarious, and terrifying in equal measure. Karen Lavin has written the critically acclaimed Dayton Ghost and Cincinnati Ghost books available from Schiffer Press. And tonight, Karen Lavin shares her own personal experiences, as well as the experiences from her books, plus an exclusive, terrifying, and befuddling Bigfoot encounter that Bigfoot fans are going to want to hear. This is an incredible interview with an incredible woman. On with the show. Our listeners love to know of personal paranormal experiences. Have you had any paranormal experiences in your life?
Too many to count. Way too many to count. And from before I even remember, I grew up my first years in California. And before I don't even remember some of them, my aunt would talk about it. Just that I knew things, saw things, heard things that they made sure no one, none of the other kids in my family, you know, knew anything about it. So, yeah. And it's interesting because to me, it's normal. The paranormal is the most normal part of my life, pretty much. I'm so used to it, you know, in a lot of different ways, whether it's, you know, hearing things, seeing things, knowing things, stuff like that. It's just always kind of been there. And I guess I always thought that most people felt that same way. But all I had to do is talk to my sister, the banker, you know, who the smart one who, you know, makes a zillion dollars and whatever. No, yeah. She is like, what's wrong with you, you weirdo? No, I don't see things or hear that or what, you know, and I'm like, you don't, you know, and then I'd go through the family, whatever. The only other weirdo, as I say that with love in my family, is my father. He believed in Bigfoot way back when, 60s, 70s, whenever that first started, aliens completely. He did self-hypnosis, and he would do that on other people too if they needed to, you know, try to quit smoking or whatever. He was always so open-minded about it all. He was actually just matter of fact. When I was a babysitter, I came home and I said, there's a ghost. There's a lady ghost at the house. So the kid I'm babysitting, like, oh, really? What'd she do? What happened? And then, you know, then he turns the TV back on after I tell him. And it's just, that's just the way it was, you know, and is. So I guess that's where I get a lot of it from. And I think, obviously, he had some abilities. And I think that kind of got passed on to me. So I don't even know where to start with the paranormal stuff that's happened to me. I guess the biggest thing for me is, one of the biggest ones was when my dad died. He had a heart attack in the living room of the house, and I was with him. and I really couldn't do anything. So it was very traumatic and everything. And my mom was gone and whatever. But anyway, we called and we got the medics to come and everything. But I knew he was already gone, even though they said he wasn't. And so anyway, yeah, he was gone. We come back to the house and whatever. And my husband and I had just only been married a few months. I was daddy's girl, I guess, in the sense, you know, he loved my husband to be too and all that. And I think he knew that I'd be okay if he died, if I was with Doug, my husband, you know, I'd make it. Yeah. But anyway, so, you know, going through all of that, whatever, and Doug and I lived in this little apartment thing off the side of the house. And 3 nights after he died, I was beyond, was just a mess, miserable, and newlywed miserable, my poor husband. But anyway, so whatever sleep I could get, anyway, I was asleep. All I remember is being woken up by my husband, shook hard and saying, stop it, wake up, stop now. And I'm like, what? And then I realized, you know, I was dreaming. I was going into the light, very bright light. And I wasn't sad. You know, I was like, yep, I have to walk this way and I'm going to see my dad. I saw him and I kept going. My husband, at the same time, we found out, was dreaming that he saw me walking to my father in the light. And my father said, you got to stop her. It's not her time. You bring her back and you take care of her and you live. You guys got a life to live and whatever. So when my husband woke me up and we talked about that together, oh my gosh, I felt such relief. It's bizarre, but it was just like, leave it to my dad to do it so dramatically and everything, that we had the same dream at the same time. And my dad, you know, there through all of it. And it kind of changed my life. I guess I always was raised Catholic, you know, and I always believed that, you know, there's something after we die, whatever. But, you know, when you lose your mother or, you know, a brother or something like that, or a sister, you start wondering all over again, well, where is it? And I don't see them and I don't whatever. And so to get that validation too. And the one thing is funny, my husband is he doesn't like to read a lot, any of that kind of stuff. He works his butt off. He's a manager. But, you know, for him to use like big words, forget it, or any kind of whatever. But I just said to him, how did you think my dad looked? And my husband said, joyous. Now you'd have to know Doug to know how that would never come out of his mouth. He's never said it since. He never said it before. Not that way. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it was just, I was like that. Okay. Yeah. That's exactly, he said he was beaming, but using the word joyous, I knew this was real. My dad's okay. He had had so many heart problems and everything. And he was okay finally, you know, and I would be all right with Doug. And it was also his way of telling me, you're going to be with Doug and he's going to, you know, help you through stuff. And this is 33 years later. I've been married 33 years.
That's a beautiful and incredible account as well, to give you that peace of mind. Even after his passing, your dad just wanted to give you that comfort to know that he's okay. Move on. Yeah. You know, I'll see you soon.
He better have. Because I'm telling you, with all the stuff that he instilled in me, that, you know, like, this stuff's real, this stuff, I would have had his side. And in fact, I was like, I don't know, several months later, and I just was sitting there laying before I went to sleep. And I went, you know, Dad, fine. Okay, I believe the thing that happened with you, whatever. But I also know, I said, that you should have gone to the doctor, which is true, because he was having heart pain and he refused to go. He refused. And that he had already had a couple heart attacks, like in his 40s. And he was younger than I am now, like 56, or whatever. And he wouldn't. He refused. And then he died. So I was mad. And my mom was a little, you know, we were all just like, why wouldn't you go? And he came to me and I did not see his body. I saw his soul. It was light all over. I've never seen anything like it. And he was in front of me. And he said, you're right. Yes. If I would have gone to the doctor, he said they would have treated me. I would have been okay for a few weeks, whatever, but I would have had to have major surgery and I would have died then. And that would have been much harder on you and your mother. I believe him. And I told mom, and that made her feel better, that he would have passed anyway. And it would have been all the money, all the stress, all the hospital stuff, you know. So, yeah. So, you know, all this weird stuff I got from my dad.
With your father, do you think he'd had any personal encounters for him to be so enthralled with aliens, Bigfoot, the paranormal? Did he ever tell you of anything that had happened to him?
What he told me is it's real. And he said to believe that it's not real is stupid. Because with all the stuff in the world, everything and all the, you know, all this kind of stuff, he's like the aliens and whatever, of course they're there. It's just, it makes sense. You know, he just always made it not scary or whatever. But yeah, yes, when his brother died in his 30s, my dad and my mom were going back to the house at my grandma's house. And they heard footsteps up the basement stairs and back down. And my dad said, Dick, which was his brother's name, you know, and, you know, leaned down and whatever. And he just said, he was covered in, you know, goosebumps. So my mom, who was just, this just wasn't her thing, you know, whatever, but she knew it. She heard it all, you know, and she felt it too. So yes, he's had stuff like that throughout his life. And he also believed in astral projecting. Is that
astral projection? Yeah. Leaving the body.
Yes. And he said that he would do this periodically. And he said, but his biggest issue was one time he felt like he might not be able to get it back. There's like this, he said, there's like this cord or whatever, you know, this sort of central thing that, so you can go, you know, up and go, but you know, he was really scared that he was going to not be able to come back, which, you know, I guess would mean death or whatever like that. So he kind of put the kibosh on that. That was later years of his life. So yeah, he was into so much. I don't even know if I know all of it, but yeah, just very open-minded and very, he just knew there was more. And he knew that we don't know exactly what it is, but it's there.
When you were a babysitter, did you have a strange experience then?
Oh, yeah. I was 11 years old. My sister didn't want to babysit for this new newborn anymore. She is like 15 or 16. So she said, I wanted to make $1 an hour or whatever. Okay. Big money here, Gavin. And I'm 11. And she told him I was 12. And I said, no, I'm not. She goes, yes, you are. You're 12 now. Okay. This newborn. So I go over there, you know, and I babysat a little. I love kids even when I was a child. So that part, she wasn't throwing the child to the wolves. But yeah, so I, you know, babysat there for, oh my gosh, for like 7 years. The first few years, he was a little colicky or whatever, Craigie, that was his name. And it was kind of hard for me, you know, I was young, whatever. And I'm like, well, what do I do? Walk around, whatever, this and that. And should I call my mom? You know, I'm worried. What if, whatever. And we would hear, it's okay, Craig. He would stop crying. And look, I mean, he's this baby. So I knew I wasn't the only one that heard that. It's okay. It's okay. And then footsteps, you know, across the linoleum and all this. And Craig's father had this thing with me where he's like, you know, when we came home the other night, the deadbolt was not locked. And I said, well, you mustn't have locked it. And he goes, no, I always do the deadbolt before we leave, Karen. So you must have unlocked it. And I said, I don't even go to the front door. In fact, the only way I came through their house is through the garage, you know, through the kitchen. Yeah. I think so. I'm sitting there and my cheeks got red. And I'm like, geez, you know, I'm honest. What does he think I'm doing, cartwheels on the front lawn, or what am I doing? You know, but I thought, honestly, so one night he was particularly kind of, you know, pushing it, whatever. I stood there. What? And he said, no, did you hear this deadbolt? I said, yes, I do. And he goes, and let's just leave it there. And I said, you got it. You know, I was getting like, I loved the kid. So I was stuck. I was like, yeah, I guess it's got to be worth it. Anyway, so I go and I, you know, steal some potato chips, the Pringles. Back then that was big. Okay. These people were rich, and the snack pack puddings, you know, so I get my stash after I get Craigie to bed and everything. And I'm sitting there, you know, shoveling it into my mouth in the den, which is just right outside of the front thing. And I hear it clunk, clunk, which is the sound of the deadbolt, okay? Opening, or, you know, opening or closing. I went, crap. So I have this spoonful of, you know, pudding, and I have my Pringle thing up. I threw it all in my purse. I'm like, oh my God, they're going to know I'm this big. Like, they didn't know anyway. Give me a break. I was 10 or 11, 12, whatever. So anyway, so I throw it all in my purse. I jump up and I go to the door because I expect them. That's what I would hear when they would come in, you know, nothing. No one's there. And I was like, did I not hear the deadbolt? It was open. The deadbolt had, she did it. It was moved. So it was not deadbolt. She had done it. And I just stood there and I was like almost angry for a second. And then I just started laughing. It was just her way of, it's okay. It's a dumb thing. Don't let it get you, whatever. But I was like, for years, that's terrible. For weeks, I'm not that much of a slob. I found crumpled up Pringles in the bottom of my purse. It was just, God forbid I take it out and clean it, you know, but I was, you know, young, but yes, always reminded me, you know, and the chocolatey snack pack pudding stuff too, and the spoon. I don't know if I brought the spoon back. Ooh. Anyway, yeah. So it was just stuff like that, Kevin. And I would go home and tell my dad, yeah, what happened? Yeah. Oh, that's kind of funny. He loved the deadbolt one. He thought that was absolutely hysterical. And he goes, you got a good one there. You don't have to worry about her. And I knew I didn't have to. I could tell because we would hear her and even when he was older and he was old enough to talk, Mom. And I would think it was his mom. She pulled another one where she was, you know, we heard the door, this time the garage door coming into the kitchen. We heard that and heard high heels on the linoleum in there, or whatever they had. They were rich. And so we start in there. I'm like, oh, you're back early or whatever. And Craig's like, Mom. And no one's there. And he looks at me and I look at him and we just walk back in the den and continue to play. It was just constant. I wanted to contact him to just see if he remembers that, you know, and also if they experienced stuff. I never talked to his folks about it or anything, just pretty much my dad. But yeah, so yeah, God was just like matter of fact. And, you know, as long as you don't feel like freaked out or nervous or that something is not right and not safe, he said, don't worry about it.
Well, if grown up Greg is listening, I think, oh, that's my babysitter. Get in touch with Karen and let her know what happened afterwards. So you have no idea who this little girl was, then?
It was a woman. I do not know who she was. And yes, and it has bothered me. And it's like, but back then, this was in the 70s, it was just not, they would have thought I was nuts. They just would have. They just weren't the type of people. They were very nice, you know, but it just wasn't something that I'd bring up with them.
You'd get fired.
Well, yeah. Or like, yeah, what's going on? Do you have problems? And I just couldn't do it. You know, I couldn't do it. But yeah, afterward, I was like, you know, and I think about it periodically as the years go by. And I'm like, boy, I'm so curious if they ever heard her or whatever. Definitely a woman. Absolutely. I heard her voice, you know, her walking across the linoleum, her trying to get me in trouble or making, you know, she was great. And like you said, but I don't even know how to contact him anymore, but it was real to me or whatever, and to Craig. And I know he heard her too. So I don't know if he ever said, maybe once he said to his mom, we heard the other lady before you in the house or something like that. And she just went, okay, that's nice. Anyway, you know, I wasn't going to get into it. So, yeah. So that's about, you know, par for my course of my life.
So is your current house haunted? Is that correct? It is haunted. What's going on at your house now?
Oh, my gosh. Gavin, you know, I'm just a little off the sidetrack here. I believe every place you are, there's spirits everywhere. I see energy. I can see it. Like it's like balls of very tiny, tiny things moving frantically around. And I literally can see it with the human eye. I didn't know what it was. You know, my sister said, that's got to be what that is. But I see it for years. And I've realized it's, you can have different types of haunted and you can have different types of spirits and ghosts and whatever. But it's like they're all over the place. The energy from all of these individuals, they're everywhere. It's absolutely everywhere. It just depends if they feel like having you notice them or, you know, doing something or whatever, or if they're malevolent or something like that. For me, it's just, I'm so used to it. And my sons are used to it. My husband is used to it now. It's just, the only thing is they don't like it. They say, oh, we're not really, oh, Mom, with your ghost books, you know, that kind of stuff. But when they have their bedroom doors opened at night, no one's there. When they're tapped on the back of their shoulder, yeah, and no one's there. When they hear I have wind chimes I got. It sounds bizarre, but they're wood. And we live in kind of what looks like sort of a cabin kind of a thing. And they're wood. And I hung it up right outside their doors, you know. And those suckers, the wood chimes, not my sons, or both, but will go nuts. They will just whoosh, 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 like it's out, like it's a hurricane. There's no windows there. You know, there's no nothing. And they walk out and they see it absolutely going haywire. They know something's going on. So even though they're like, oh, Mom, and whatever, they're like, I'll say something like, well, do you want me to bless your rooms again or whatever? Okay, if you feel like you have to. You know, so you know they know or whatever. So yeah, stuff constantly. And when my best friend died, literally on the day of her funeral, the trash can in the kitchen lifted up and dropped. I was sitting on the couch, you know, and which is kind of right next to the kitchen and the living room or whatever, and worried and just crying over my friend and just completely out of it. And it was the time of her funeral. And And pound, then I turn and I'm like, what was that? I was just so out of it, you know, grief. You know, I was in the throes of grief and I was alone. And I, you know, I turn and I look, whatever. I didn't even like, and then pounding on the cabinets and pounding on the walls and pounding on the trash can again. And I'm like, is somebody trying to tell me something? How stupid am I? I honestly was just like, it's Sherry. Oh my God. But it can't be because this is her, she's at her own funeral, right? Now, right. Cause I couldn't go. I didn't have the funds and she lives in another state. And of course, I'm sure she was laughing her, you know what, because we're both always talked about that stuff. And whatever. She's written multiple books for Shipper before she passed. And it was just amazing to me how I was just so out of it that it took me a while for it to get through to me, you know. And I've also seen ectoplasm and kind of walked into it sideways and was like, okay, what's that? That's not something I see a lot, but again, it's in the kitchen. So yeah, there's just stuff. Oh, the one time too, I was up in my office and I heard my door slammed and my poodle refused to go downstairs. Okay. She barked at the top and I'm like, come on, no, one do it. I went, boy, you little coward. So I go in my bedroom and open the door and the purse that was on my dresser was across the room on the floor in front of my closet. So the door had slammed and my purse had been tossed. So, but my thing is this, stay out of my bedroom, period. Stay out of my bedroom. And I say that, you know, out loud and whatever. And it's just, it's nothing that I feel is really, you know, bad or whatever, but it can get annoying. You know what I mean? It's just like enough already. I know you're hearing all the lights and all that. I can't over and over. And I think the truth is like anybody, and I've talked to people about this that, you know, experienced a lot of different things because a lot of people that felt they, you know, might've heard Bigfoot or something or alien, whatever. And they almost always had other paranormal experiences, you know, often growing up, often with the ghosts, often with this and that. I just think when you're open to it, it can come in a lot of different forms, you know, whether it be the cryptos or the ghosts or whatever, but it's just, I honestly forget half of the stuff because it's just so much. It's so, if I wrote down everything or just paused and whatever, I'd never get anything done.
Well, maybe one day you could write a book. Because I've read Dayton Ghosts and Cincinnati Ghosts. Have I said Cincinnati right? They're Cincinnati Ghosts.
You said Cincinnati better than the people in Cincinnati. I wish I could hear your voice all the time. Say Cincinnati. Lovely.
Once we got in contact, I read them both and they're superb. So how many books have you written? And are they all in the paranormal genre?
I've written about 8 or 9. I'm not exact on the thing. And I've ghost written a book, not about ghosts, but for a person that was a figure in Washington. So I did that, but I can't disclose any of that. But the first one I wrote was actually, I was pregnant with my son and I was going to write a romance book because I couldn't, you know, my husband or whatever was whatever. And I'm like, I wasn't working and, you know, we'd just been married and all that. So I'm going to write a traditional romance. Well, that lasted about a half a paragraph. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. And I did a parody. The whole thing is a parody of a romance. And it came out like you and I were talking before about, you know, when you're writing and it's supposed to be there, that spark and you're on it, you know it, and the story's telling itself. That was one of the best experiences of my life with writing was that book. And it literally just flew out of me, whatever. It was just not at all what I'd expected to, you know, write whatever, but it's still to this day, I think it's my favorite book.
What's it called?
It's called The Surrogate Who Cleaned Up, and it's a complete parody on, you know, the romance and the woman who you have our baby, carry our baby, because the wife is all rich and a bitch, and then the husband is, you know, okay, dear, whatever, and then he falls in love with the surrogate woman, but then the other woman's cheating on him, so I make sure at least that it's, you know, but it's bizarre, and I just parody absolutely everything, and I just had so much fun with it, and I've heard from people, even like recently, a woman found me. She said it took her a while. And she said, I had to write to you. I have never, ever laughed out loud when reading a book. And I did with yours. And I had to tell you that. That made my day, my week. You know, that was one of those that just, you know, I had such a great time with them. I've written, of course, Cincinnati Ghosts. I want you to say it. I like that better.
Cincinnati.
Thank you. Love it. And also, I wrote a young adult book called Quit Bugging Me. And that's paranormal in a sense. It's sci-fi that bugs come alive out of a book in these this girl and her friends and, you know, and a boy, and they try to navigate. They get caught in the book with the bugs or whatever. So I had a really good time with that too. So that was really fun. So otherwise, yeah, mostly just the paranormal. I've done a couple of things for the Healing Project. They take stories on what you've dealt with, like with cancer or whatever in your lives and whatever. And I wrote about my mom's lung cancer and me being a caregiver. So that's done stuff like that too. I'm all over the place.
Earlier on, I was doing some research on you, and you've had such a varied life. You've done so many different things, and with so much enthusiasm, with so much success. You're one of people in life who just throws yourself into projects and has so much fun. And that's evident in your work. And it's a pleasure. It's a real genuine pleasure to see what you're doing and read your work, because you can feel, it's tangible, how much enjoyment you are getting out of the process. It's absolutely wonderful. So you've written these books, but what caused you to veer towards the authorship of paranormal books?
Well, I was working for a couple of newspapers. We lived in Minnesota at that time, and my husband got promoted, and but the and the company he'd been with for a while, and they said, but you have to move to the Cincinnati area. So there went my newspaper feature writing jobs and whatever. So we do it. We left family, everything, and we moved here. We're actually in Northern Kentucky, which is like, it's like called the tri-state. So it's like, you know, Cincinnati is about 14 miles away. But so we're here, and I'm sitting here, and I'm going, now what? And the most, what was I reading? I was reading paranormal stuff. What was I experiencing? Paranormal stuff. I submitted a proposal to Schiffer Publishing, and I submitted me going out and learning. This was years, 10, 11 years ago, and just like lining up with a ghost hunting group, right? And writing my experiences as I learned to do this and what I see and all that kind of stuff. And I heard back, and they went, no, we don't do those. Which she said, I loved your proposal. How about you write, you live in that area, how about you write Cincinnati ghosts? And that's how it went.
That's amazing. Because most publishers, they would just say no and close the door, put a barricade up, lock it with a deadbolt that not even a ghost can open. And that's the end of it. But they actually said to you, you know, you've got merit in your ideas and writing. Why don't you try this?
Yeah, it was really cool. You know, I wanted to do the first person thing, but then, I had such a good time. It really, because we were new here, it really got us out. And about us speaking about my husband, he was the designated driver. And I just mean because I'm a ditz, and I would have gotten us, lost. I don't know how many times. And by the time we got to the Dayton ghost book, he was interviewing people on one side of the room while I was on the other. So he was really, is great help. And we went through Mansfield Reformatory. I don't know if you've heard of that. And that we got a private tour for there. And it was just, we just went all around the area, from Kentucky to Cincinnati and a little bit in Indiana. So it really got me grounded with where I live now. And it was a good experience for me. And like I said, with my, issues with shyness and a bit of agoraphobia, and it got me out of the house, and it got me into the community. And I've done so many talks at Rotaries, libraries, this kind of stuff. And it's kind of been a lifesaver now that I think about it.
We will be right back after these important messages.
I've never met a dead person I didn't like is the extraordinary travels of a young, alone, and broke psychic in the highly anticipated new book from internationally renowned psychic, medium, medical intuitive, and best-selling author Sherry Dillard. Critics have described I've Never Met a Dead Person I Didn't Like as an engrossing memoir, an empowering story of how a broken girl came to accept her psychic gift, a refreshing and fun read. I've Never Met a Dead Person I Didn't Like is available through Amazon, Kindle, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold.
How far would you go to protect the children in your care? Nyla's Babies is the terrifying, chilling book from Jack Simonsen, in which a young nanny battles an ancient demon for the souls of the twin babies in her care. Critics have heralded Nyla's Babies as an impressive and vivid imagined story, compelling and devilishly spooky, shocking and haunting. Nyla's Babies is available on Amazon, Kindle, or wherever books are sold. Visit cosmicegg-books.com for more on Nyla's Babies.
Sixth Books will take you to other worlds, haunt you, open your mind, and push you far beyond the veil of the unknown. Sixth Books is a leading publisher of books on the body, mind, and spirit, the paranormal, consciousness, ancient wisdom, and the afterlife. Explore today, learn today, open your mind today, read today. Visit sixth-books.com today. The world as you know it is about to change.
Do you wish for more paranormal and spiritual content? The Paranormal Chronicles magazine is a free digital magazine crammed with the very best in paranormal and spiritual articles and features. No sign-up, no subscription, just free reading and knowledge for you. Read today at www.theparanormalchronicles.com/magazine.
Hi there, my name is Claire Waters, and I would like to invite you on an incredible journey. I have written a book based on my personal experiences called Raising Faith, a true story of raising a child's psychic medium. It's my family's extraordinary experiences with our young daughter's ability to communicate with spirits and the inspirational lessons learned on our journey. Raising Faith is currently available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kindle, and wherever books are sold. Join me on this beautiful and incredible adventure. For more information on Raising Faith, visit my website, raisingfaith.co.uk, or my Facebook page, Raising Faith Book. See you there.
The international chart-topping haunted horror of Haverford West has been described as terrifyingly real, a must-read, shocking and chilling brilliance, genuinely worrying, utterly frightening, don't read before bed. Described as one of the spookiest writers out there, best-selling author G.L. Davies presents Haunted Horror of Haverford West, the true paranormal account that is shocking the world. Dare you enter? Dare you read? Haunted Horror of Haverford West is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kindle, and wherever books are sold. Pray you never have to live there.
Your books, Cincinnati Ghosts and Dayton Ghosts, are superbly written and wonderfully presented. They look amazing, so I really implore listeners to check them out because they truly are unique. And you cover such a broad spectrum of hauntings and locations, from haunted castles, hospitals, phantom hitches, ghostly cats, Air Force museums, and even a haunted skate park. Now, I personally like the haunted bed account, but that's just me. Now, the variety and the level of research that has gone into your books is truly phenomenal. You've worked so incredibly hard. So the big question is, which subject or scenario was the most frightening while researching your books? Can you tell us what happened?
There were a couple. One of the most strange and, bothered me was Bobby Mackey's. I'm sure you heard of them. In Wilder, the haunted bar. That's in Wilder, Kentucky. So it's about, again, I'd say maybe about 10 miles outside of Cincinnati. It's a suburb of, you know, Kentucky. And it's Gavin, it's been on every.
It was on Ghost Adventures.
Everything. It's been on everything.
Yes, I am familiar with it. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, and I knew it. Yeah, just going there. We went there several times. And I have to say, I felt it's very dark. It's a bar. So, I mean, that's not unusual. But it's dark in a different way, too. It's dark on your heart. It's like you walk in and you're like, you know, and you really, I was like, oh, I'm not gonna, whatever. But I really felt it. And we went there several times. And one of the times I was talking with the security guards and he said National Geographic had been there. And he told me that in the basement at this place, it's a restaurant bar. It used to be a slaughterhouse, all this kind of stuff. And it's just so much stuff has gone on there. But he said that they used to, they believe that satanic worshipers were in the basement because it was a slaughterhouse, and right over where their blood would drain when the slaughterhouse was gone, they would come and do stuff. And National Geographic was there, he said, and the crew was down there, you know, just the crew, whatever. And they had rocks thrown at them from out of nowhere, from where the place, there's this tiny little cell thing that they said they kept children in, or people that this is the, you know, story. But anyway, so and they had said, you know, people come down, rocks would be around down there, and that the crew had them thrown at them from where the children supposedly were kept down there, which just freaked them out massively. News stations have come here and done stories on it, and they lose power. They can't keep batteries in anything. And so I knew I'm going to. And one of the last times I was there, my husband and I had a beer, and I was just like rounding things up and talking to one of the people, just a little more research, not much more. I was pretty much done. And I just, we got in the car and I just felt like out of it. I mean, in a sense, not a good way. In a, one beer ain't going to do it, make me out of it. You know what I mean? And I just felt like, oh Lord, I don't know what this is. And I just, I told, you know, my husband, I said, we're starting driving away. And I'm like, I feel just, ugh. He goes, well, it's gross, you know, and they need to dust and all, just, you know, trying to whatever. I said, no, it's different than that. And then the car filled with the scent, and I still don't know why this happened, but with the scent of apples. It's like, it's winter. We're in a, you know, we're driving, you know, our 20 miles home, and apples, and he, my husband could smell it. I was just like, I don't know why this is happening, but go away. You know, don't, I don't want you around me, whatever, that kind of a thing. It stuck with me. That kind of a thing stuck with me. And you think, well, that's not like someone grabbing you or something like that. No, but it's almost worse, because I felt something had maybe attached to me. And that's, I mean, the idea and the concept of that is I don't want that. You know, I don't ever want to go there. I don't want it. I felt like my mind was muddled. Like I really had, it was like it took me longer to think and to speak. Even I know people are saying, what, she's having problems right now. I mean, that's normal for her. That's correct. However, but even more longer and whatever. So it was just, but that was one of the, and it just stuck with me. It just kept going in my head, whatever. And I'm like, go away. I just kept saying that, whatever. And it's been okay. And I've had, you know, we like Mansfield Reformatory, your listeners might probably know about that if they're into that. Again, I think every show has been there, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
It's housed a bunch of prisoners or whatever, and they put hardcore murderers in. They put boys that stole a loaf of bread that are 13 years old in with the hardcore prisoners. And I think you know what could have happened there and what
it's not gonna be good. It's not gonna be a nice experience.
No, it was horrible. And it's very bizarre. And even the guy that worked there for years, he's like, you know, every time I never know it, I'm going to get whatever. And he said a couple of times, he felt like he was being taken over, you know? And I'm like, why are you still? He goes, well, I'm able to, you know, and he laughed or whatever, but it's just like, you just get the feeling that for me, it was mostly, I was just sad. It was just like horrible things happened there and you could just feel it. And I'm too empathetic. So stuff like that, the problem is it stays with me, you know, and then I see stuff on it, whatever, and then I'm triggered again. And, you know, I've had the stuff like my friend and I, you know, were going around the cemetery when we were younger and just kind of laughing and being stupid. And her hatchback flew up, which, cool. You know, can't. Yeah, flew up and we literally felt something coming in it. I don't know how else to say it. We're sitting there in the hatch and we're sitting there and I'm like, what the, she felt it too. Almost like you could feel, you know, when a kid gets in the back of the, like that. Yeah. So I said, floor it. Oh my God, floor it. Which she did, you know, with the hatchback up. And I don't think we stopped for at least like 5 miles to put the hatchback back. Now we were so freaked out. That was like, you know, don't mess with the dead. That was a good lesson. Just don't. Something you do for fun or whatever. It's, you know, it makes me think about too, when I was on Psychic Detectives, it's a show that was
tell us about Psychic Detectives. And can I just say your story about the hatchback has sent me to Goosebump City. It's not often I say that. This is about the third time in my career on podcasts or YouTube, I've been sent to Goosebump City. You sent a chill through me. Just think, that ghost kid could still be in a second-hand hatchback on some car lot somewhere. I just want to go home. I thought,
and it's
okay.
Our fault. Oh, that's so funny. I'm so glad that it did. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so I'm weird, and I do a lot of creative things, and I get such a kick out of acting, you know, and whether it's on stage or if I, you know, Minneapolis years ago, when it like Joe Somebody, that movie, and Drop Dead Gorgeous and Sugar and Spice, they came to film it in Minnesota and I would be a featured extra. So I'd be, you know, I'd get all the good food off the whatever things and oh, there I am right there and that kind of stuff. So, and I got paid. I wouldn't have done if I didn't. Now, no, around here, they don't pay. So it's like, forget it for that kind of work. But anyway, so yes, I've always had that and I've done plays and things like that. And
what
then,
films should I, sorry to interrupt, because I'm going to go and watch those tonight. What films are I going to write them down? What, even though it's recorded and I can listen to it later. What were those films? You were an extra?
Sugar and Spice. I actually was in the scene with the actor and I played his pregnant wife and it's in the trailer. So
oh my gosh.
Quick. So that one, yeah, that was really a blast. And Drop Dead Gorgeous, that was, Sugar and Spice had done Denise Richards and the actresses around that time, all of them were in it. Now, Drop Dead Gorgeous had Kirstie Alley and, you know, Ellen Barkin and Brittany Murphy.
Yes.
Who has since passed. I sat there. She was the nicest person. We were doing a scene for a funeral inside a bowling alley thing. And she just was so sweet and talked to me about, oh, what do you have? Ham and whatever here? Do you ham salad? I never hear that in New York. And is that your son? She was such a nice person.
I had a huge crush on Denise Richards. And if Denise Richards, you are listening to this podcast, sorry to disappoint you, but I've got a lovely girlfriend now. And you had your chance when I emailed you that time. So let's move on from that, Denise. You had your chance. You were on Psychic Detective.
Yes, which was really cool because I played the mother of a killer. I played the mother of a killer, and we went to Dayton, Ohio to film, and they used the real detectives that were, the it's a reality thing, but they used the real detectives. And then I played the woman, you know, and the detectives told me afterwards, you reacted exactly like she did. Like they knew her name and everything. And I just got somber, Gavin, because I'm like, I'm looking at this as I get to play whatever killer. It just me. They were being complimentary. Okay. And I had lines in it, everything. But I went, why am I have to keep this in mind. This is someone's life too. You know, I mean, it was just kind of startling to me. And I think in life you have to really look at everything through. I would have done it again, of course, and everything like that. But I just feel like a lot of times there's so much that's happening and so much technology and all these shows and whatever, and you're just grateful to get paid and, you know, get a national thing and, you know, and all that. And it never entered my mind. It really didn't until that second, which is bizarre because I'm pretty empathetic, but I was just like, I got this role. I got this. And then I was like, this is sad. I feel bad for her. So of course I had to pray for her for like a week, you know, it's annoying. But anyway, so yeah, I did that and stuff and done commercials and things like that. But it's always more to me. It's like you and I were talking before, just, you put it perfect, experiencing life and doing things that are new and different and fun and seeing if I can do them. That's my big thing. If people say you can't do something, since I was a kid, that was the first thing I'd try to do. Now, you have experience with that.
You have an exciting, talking about exciting new things and new experiences, you have an exciting new current book project in the works. Could you tell us about it if you're allowed to? That is, of course.
Of course I'm allowed to. And I just have to say as an aside, I thank you so much for having me on and having some interest in my life and what I've done. And I'm just very touched. I think you're the real deal. And this has just been so much fun. And you're kind, and it just makes me feel more relaxed. And I've listened to, you know, your other ones too, your other podcasts, and they're so good. Anyway, okay, I'll get off on it.
You are awesome, right? And I want you back on the show because you are thoroughly entertaining and you're genuine and you have a natural, funny and charming side and interesting side. And I think all our listeners are going to agree. But yeah, let's find out a bit about your new book.
Okay, yeah. This one is all around Ohio. So it's a little limited. I know your listeners are from all over the world. Ohio, however, like a lot of Bigfoot stuff we've had going on even before, among other states, whatever. Like the news just did a thing on it. I think we're like 7th out of the country for like Bigfoot sightings and stuff like that. And there's huge groups all over here and, you know, lots of Facebook groups about it and things like that. So that's, I'm going to do that with the cryptoid thing. I've talked to a couple people, one woman who, when she was in her teens, was grabbed by what she believed was a Bigfoot. She and her friend were at her friend's house and they were in the woods. The house was in the woods and they were, you know, hanging out, whatever, and about to go inside. And they looked and the dog had been let out. So they went to get the dog and they look, and she said she saw this long hairy arm petting or whatever with the dog, and looked up and it was, he was like 9 feet tall, whatever, you know, dark, whatever. They ran their butt off and he grabbed her arm just as they got to the door. So her friend was trying to, they couldn't get through the door, just the one door, the screen door. They got that open. They were pounding on it because the other door was locked, I guess. And he had her arm, and then her friend had her other arm. And then the friend's mom opened the door and they fell in. He let go of her arm. She said she knew completely that he was toying with her and he could have taken her arm off, could have grabbed her and gone off with it. So hearing something like this, and she's had several other things in addition, and she's really amazing. She's a very interesting. And I got referred to her by one of the biggest Bigfoot organizations about, because I want to talk to people that have really, you don't talk to too many people that have, like, you know, been hung on, you know, or grabbed by Bigfoot, you know. And so I love finding stuff like that. That's what I'm looking for, too. I'm still looking. I'm always looking for more, especially that the stuff on Bigfoot and aliens. I've spoken with people about that. In fact, the Bigfoot woman, you know, had an experience as a child. A lot of them are with the lights, you know, that they see the lights or whatever, but felt, you know, with the encounters and stuff like that. And I'd like to get a little more on that, that say they might have had that, or, you know, the documented things. So I'm on that, anything like that, Dogman, all of that stuff. So it's a little different. In addition to the ghost stuff, you know, I have a lot of the ghost stuff in there from Ohio, but as I said, it's kind of, you know, it's a little limited because for the book purpose, it has to be in Ohio for this book purpose.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I know I'm putting that out there, but just in case, you know, if someone.
No, please, please do. Because if there's anyone in that area, in the Ohio area, listening to this next, I know there's a lot of Bigfoot fans. Our two most successful shows were both to do with Bigfoot. And I know a lot of our followers are Bigfoot fans. So if you are listening to this, in a few moments, we'll get all the details of Karen so you can contact her, because her books, Dayton Ghosts and Cincinnati Ghosts, are superb. And it's the presentation as well as the writing. It's absolutely superb. So I can only imagine what this book's going to be like. So if you're out there and you think you can help with this project, please, please get in touch. Going back to this Bigfoot assault, I guess we would call it. Did you say it was petting the dog? Not in an aggressive way.
I asked her and she said, honestly, it was, you know, it's kind of dark or whatever. But she said, honestly, she said it was like he. So I said, this huge creature. She said, yeah, he didn't hurt the dog. What, it just leaning down. And it, she said in the arm, she just remembers how long that arm was. And she put, it wasn't a human length, you know, and then the dog is right. But yes. So I thought that was kind of incredible myself, because obviously that creature, you know, were it to be a creature, could have done anything with that dog. And we both know that. But it, yeah. To see an action such as that, which that's what she felt that that it was. The creature was just kind of toying with them kind of the whole way. But she still says if she could never have that experience, she would do that. She wouldn't have it. Because now she's like searching again and again, and she's had kind of a few little other things on top of this. And she said, it's almost just like inside her, and she can't let it go. Do you understand what I'm saying? She just feels like it's kind of, now that that happened to her, it's like, it's a mission that's inside her, you know, and she just can't stop doing it. She goes to this place, and she's a wonderful photographer, and she goes to this place and beautiful photos of, you know, turtles and all the animals out there, and they're just lovely, lovely things. And that's where several times she has, you know, felt she's heard and slightly seen another one. And but I think it's, I can kind of get it. It's like when you know, you're just sort of like on a treadmill, but you just, she wishes she didn't have it in her, but she can't stop, and she's gonna keep doing it. She tells people, you don't wish this happened, because she was terrorized. She literally put it out of her mind, literally, completely. She couldn't think about it after it, you know, in the few, she called her folks that came and got her when she was a teenager and stuff. And she literally said, Karen, I swear, her and a friend didn't talk about it, whatever. And I think she moved on or whatever, but she saw her friend, she said, 10, 20 years after this, I don't remember the exact thing. And she said to me, the woman said, did that happen? Who did that? Did it. But she just, no, it didn't. Then her friend said, that night was effing insane, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then she said, they both just, whatever, talked for a little bit, and that's it. And I think she puts that down to survival. She said if she hadn't done that, she would have gotten that.
You know, there's a lot of Bigfoot fans out there which are reading and researching and setting up game cameras and whatnot. But to have that kind of physical interaction on something on par the size of a gorilla, which has the power to snap you, kill your dog, pull your arm off, carry you off if it wanted to. What I'd be very, very interested in, listeners, if any of you have had a similar experience to that, please contact Karen Lavin. Please contact her immediately, because if this creature has done this once, it might have done it twice. And people don't want to believe it, like the lady said, because of PTSD. They just shut it from their mind. I guarantee you, there's someone out there now listening to this going, I had the same experience. And if you did, please contact Karen, because this book, this Bigfoot book she's going to do, it's going to be a bestseller. People are going to want to read it. It's going to be superb, because Bigfoot is a hot, hot topic. It is absolutely hot. And I know that for a fact.
Yes, very much so. You know, and I would appreciate it. Yeah, my thing, Gavin, when I did the books and compiled information, I talked to several people on several things, and, you know, I didn't try to validate as much as I possibly could. But one of the big markers for me was, do I feel they're telling me the truth? Can I see by looking at them? That's very important to me, because I've had people come to me and it's all BS. Thank God, I guess, for my, you know, that I'm empathic in that way, because I can pretty much spot it, you know, in that kind of a thing. And they've tried to fool me with, oh, look at this photo, whatever, you know, and I'm like, no, you know. And I have other people that I ask to look at it and stuff that know what they're doing way better than I. So I know stuff's out there that's real. You know, I know stuff's out there that we're not sure, right? Even the person, and I know there's stuff out there that just completely, it's a hoax. And that's what they do. They like, you know, doing that. So my job is to send up prayers and try to really get to look at them, talk to them. And if people like don't want to talk to me at first, that's a great sign.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
I don't want to. Yeah. I don't want to whatever. And, you know, if you talk to people too, the other area that's like really, I stayed away from as much as I could is demonic possession. Now with Bobby Mackey's, as we talked about earlier, the guy that worked there definitely was possessed, and it was a demonic kind of based possession. And one of the psychic that is in the book, Cincinnati Ghost, that I interview on the back part of it, he said he was just, I did talk to him a little while ago, and he said he was called back there and he had to do a number of exorcisms on this guy again. So that kind of stuff, that's like serious stuff and whatever. And when people, Karen, do you want to go with us to look? Hey, Karen, you know, it's one of the ghost groups. There's this girl that, you know, they believe is, you know, possessed in Indiana. You want to go along? And no, I pray for that or whatever. But it's like, that freaks me out. Maybe it's my Catholic upbringing or something, but I know the devil's real. I have absolutely no doubt, absolutely none. And I don't want to open myself up to that. And I, you know, if I hear about it, I pray that they can get it. And, you know, the one girl did, she was, the priest came and did an exorcism, you know, and it's not a 10-minute thing like people think. I don't know how many visits he had to do, but that kind of stuff is like, ugh. But now with this book, I don't know. I think I'm interested in the sense of, I guess, to show that this stuff, I think a lot of people, no, there isn't. When you die, that's it or whatever, but, you know, but there's not. The true evil thing, in a way, is kind of important for people to understand, if that makes sense. So if I could find a way in a case that I feel that would help people, I don't want it just to be like, oh, just scare you or whatever. I want you to think about it. And I want, you know what I mean? And maybe just change behaviors or whatever, if you can, you know, and a little kinder and stuff like that, and realize there's so much around us and there's so much ways we can be influenced and things. So, and that kind of a way, now that I'm looking at it that way, I'd be more interested. I just want to do the best book I possibly can, and I want to reach the most people I can, and I just hope people enjoy the journey or kind enough to read what I've written.
For the listeners, if you haven't read Dayton Ghosts and Cincinnati Ghosts, right, go out and read it. Seriously, they're excellent. The stories are varied. There's so much for you to read. The presentation is superb. There's photographs. There's so much insight, and Karen's got a wonderful writing style. And you will enjoy those books. You will enjoy those. Even if you're not from those areas, read them, because what I found very interesting was the fact that there's a lot of comparisons to ghost stories and events here, right here in Wales, in Pembrokeshire. So you probably find the same. There's a lot of urban myth interwoven into small towns all over the world. And what I'm excited about is this Bigfoot book, written in the same ilk, presented in the same style, and it's going to be excellent. Honestly, these books you're writing are great. I want more from you. I want a book on every state in America, every county in the UK, every country in Europe, and I want Bigfoot and I want aliens. Yeah, by Tuesday, please. I would like that very much. How can our listeners contact you? How can they follow your progress and new projects and read your existing books?
Well, my website is Karen Laven, K-A-R-E-N. laven.net, nocomming.net. I used to have com, and then I let it lapse, and now someone's like, you have to pay like $100 or $200 or whatever to get com back, and like, forget it. So it's net, karenlaven.net. I'm also on Facebook at Karen Laven Author. You'll find me there. And I don't have a ton of stuff yet. I kind of was off Facebook for a while, but now I'm back in full force, and I love hearing from people and would love you to friend me and tell me your stories. And even if you're not in, you know, the Ohio area or whatever, I love, best job in the world was when I worked as a newspaper feature writer. I met so many people who were passionate about whatever it was, rock hunting, you know, art, whatever, you know, being a horseback for children, autistic children, running that, whatever. It's just, so I love just touching base with people from wherever you are.
So if you're listening to this podcast, to this episode, it is karenlaven.net. That's karenlaven.net. Get in touch with her. Certainly, please, please do. If you had any Bigfoot experiences in the tri-state area, honestly, you can feature in the next book. So, Karen, we're getting to the end of the show, the end of the evening. What final thoughts would you like to leave our listeners with?
I guess just keep your mind open in whatever you're kind of going for. My biggest thing is just enjoy. If you enjoy like reading about, you know, the ghost stories and whatever, and just that little tickle you get from it down your spine or whatever, you know, do it and let yourself do it. And if you want to join a ghost hunting group or whatever, you can do that. But also not to let what, you never know what can come up. And my biggest thing is just be aware, especially if you're going to ghost hunt or you're really interested and you're going a little further and stuff. And like we talked about the satanic stuff or whatever, be aware of what's going on and really, you know, think twice about stuff and don't, you know, trample down, you know, in places that like Hayeswood Hospital, there's a place there and it's like very dangerous for people and people are going in and they're getting hurt. And I know it's intriguing, whatever, and that place is super haunted, but it's like, just, you know, enjoy it, but watch what you're doing, you know, and if you want to get further involved, you know, do your research, contact local groups or whatever, or, you know, just be a great reader. And I sure appreciate it. And I know all the offers at Schiffer and I know, you know, Gavin does too. We appreciate that you find what we write interesting.
Karen, you are one of the most thoroughly charming, engaging and most loveliest people I've ever had the pleasure to speak to. And I am so thrilled that you've given us your time tonight. There's going to be a lot more from you and I'm going to be watching your career with great interest and hopefully get to work on some projects with you as well. You're an absolutely wonderful lady, so talented, so genuine, so warm. Thank you so much for your time tonight.
Thank you, Gavin. I appreciate it very much.
There we have it. Some truly remarkable and strange accounts. Karen Laven is a genuinely lovely lady, which I'm sure you will agree, and incredibly talented. Dayton Ghosts and Cincinnati Ghosts are two superb books to read regardless of where you live in the world. Karen can be contacted at karenlaven.net. Get in touch with her, especially if you have a Bigfoot encounter. Plus check out all her other cool projects too. Karen is a most talented lady with a natural enthusiasm for all she does. It's been wonderful to speak to her tonight. So, visit karenlaven.net. Just what was Bigfoot doing to that dog? It's got me thinking. Let me know what you think. If you enjoy free paranormal content and want more on ghosts, hauntings, Bigfoot, then grab yourself your free, yes, that's right, free, digital The Paranormal Chronicles magazine. 100% free. No sign up, no subscription. You can get reading on your computer, phone or tablet right now by visiting www.theparanormalchronicles.com/magazine. So, visit www.theparanormalchronicles.com/magazine right now for free editions and hundreds of paranormal pages just for you. Right, followers, two of you have both won signed copies of Haunted Horror of Haverford West by yours truly. If you are listening and not followed, then why not? It's a great series with great guests and we give you a free magazine and a chance to win paranormal books every month. So give it a go. What's the worst that can happen? So just follow, download the series and enjoy. So the two winners from the July followers prize draw are Loopy Misfit and Wendy Ville. That's Loopy Misfit and Wendy Ville. Congratulations and thank you for following. Get in touch so I can post your signed copies of Haunted Horror of Haverford West to you. Everyone not following, follow, as in September you could win a book or a £25 or dollar Amazon gift voucher just for following. Please explore the archives with shows on Bigfoot encounters, UFOs, ancient mysteries, ghost stories, terrifying demon encounter, and even psychic children. Listen, download, and share to your friends. I have so many shows to upload, you will be so thrilled. Let me leave you with this. Karen Laven spoke about grief and loss in her heartbreaking remembrance of her dad's passing. Grief, loss, depression, it affects so many of us, I know. I have been there and it's important that you know that your life is important, as are your feelings. There's a great many people out there all over the world that you can contact, call, or text, so you can talk to. You're never alone, and your life is really important. Please know, whatever you're going through or have been through, that you mean something to someone. Your life is important, and you never have to suffer alone. Thank you for being part of my life, part of my journey into the unknown. You're awesome. Thank you. Sleep well.